Psalm 127. If you find that verse as you're looking for that this morning, let me just encourage you to join together with all of our activities this week. Visitation Tuesday night. Those who are attending, planning to attend our senior adult luncheon with our association, that is this Tuesday morning. And I believe there's a sign-up sheet. You must do that by today. And if you have not done that, you need to do that today. And all that information you'll find back at the table. And so we encourage you to do that. Psalm 127 this morning, if you'll stand to honor God's word, we're going to read just two verses, verse 1 and in verse 3. I don't have anything against verse 2, just want to give it all, emphasize these two verses here this morning. And it's just the first part of verse 1, and the last part will be verse 3. So, psalmist says in verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Now notice verse 3. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject that I've entitled, Building a Christian Home. Building a Christian Home. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask your blessings upon these next few moments. As we dive into your word, we pray that your word will speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit, draw us close to you, and whatever we need to do to be right with you today, I pray in these moments, Lord, we'll not concentrate upon the messenger, but upon the message and what you have for us this morning. This I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I believe with all my heart this morning, as by way of introduction to this message, that America needs more Christian homes. I know in our political landscape of this election year, we hear a lot of things about what we need in America. And I'm sure that many of the things that are being said are exactly right. We need a lot of the things that some politicians are saying they're going to do if they get elected. But I contend to you this morning, there's not a single problem we have in America that couldn't be changed if America's homes would get back and get right with God. Amen. Just no real problem. If just every mom and every dad and every teenager and every young person and in every home would turn to God and get right with God, I believe we'd solve every problem we've got in a short amount of time. But see, we've got to build those homes. Now, I'm not a builder. I'm not a construction expert. I'm not a carpenter. If you need carpentry work, don't call me. I'm not qualified. I can't do it. I can do Legos. Maybe. But I'm not. After seeing some of what people do with Legos, I begin to think I'm not qualified to do that. At all. But I've learned a lot from watching other people about construction. You got to have a plan. You got to have, there's a process and all the things. You just don't go out here and just one day get up one morning after breakfast and say, I think I'll build a building, and just go out there and build a building before supper. You just don't do that. I mean, you got to have a plan. You got to have help. You got to have things to do. Time Magazine ran an article not long ago that said that there's no longer any such thing as a typical family. And probably a lot of that I could agree with. I'm not sure what typical means. But I do know that God's Word holds the blueprint and holds the guidelines of how we ought to build a Christian home. God's Word's still true. God's Word is still right. God's Word has not changed. And if we would get back to doing things God's way and with His wisdom and His help, I believe that we would find what this passage says, that if children are a heritage of the Lord, then if the Lord's going to build a house, then we need to let Him help us build it. So how do we do that? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain, verse 1. So whether this morning you find yourself as a parent, married couple, single parent, grandparents, foster parents, whether you're raising your biological children or you're raising someone else, I believe the Bible gives us the only reliable blueprint for building into the lives of those precious children this morning. And as we have celebrated with one of our own families here today, as they've dedicated themselves as parents and setting aside and dedicating their children to the Lord, I believe there are three things about this blueprint that we can find from the Word of God that help us in building a Christian home. Notice number one. We find that the foundation should be built on the Word of God. The foundation should be built upon the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll ask you just to flip over there because we'll spend a little bit of time in Ephesians 6 this morning. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we find some great words of encouragement along this line. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Now, when he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, what is he referring to? Well, he's referring back to the big ten, as we call them, the Ten Commandments. God gave Moses in Exodus chapter 20. And when he gave those Ten Commandments, when he got down to the one that said, honor thy father and mother, he promised a blessing of long life in the land upon those who honor their parents. Now listen, if you want long life, honor your mom and daddy. That's exactly what the Word of God says. You see, the foundation of a Christian home is founded upon the Word of God. Now, I don't know if you understand or not, but a building process is slow. If you want to build it right, you got to take your time and do it right. Sometimes there's not a lot of visible results because there's a lot of work has to be going on to lay the foundation. You got to dig it out. You got to have solid ground. They've got to dig footings and got to pour concrete. You got to pour that foundation. You got to have it set right, and it's got to set up and be strong and solid before you can start doing anything else. Too many times we try to build our lives on our own thinking, our own blueprints, our own foundations. We want to build it the way culture tells us we should do. We want to build it so people will be popular and that we could be popular. But the most important foundation for a Christian home is found building it upon the Word of God. Amen. You build it upon anything else, you're going to have trouble somewhere along the way. You know, too many times we've allowed people to influence our families more than we allow the Word of God to influence our families. And too many times our children can name more of the celebrities and the pop stars and the movie stars than they can the disciples and the books of the Bible. And too many times we can quote secular songs more than we can quote hymns. And too many times we have more friends on Facebook than we have in church. Now, just go ahead and get mad at me if you want to, but you can go ahead. I don't really care, because I'm going to tell you that you're headed for a life of misery and destruction and problems when you get away from the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, parents, you may not be popular with your kids when you try to teach them the principles of God's Word, but God didn't make you a parent to be popular. He made you to be a parent.
Amen.
He made you to be that way so that they could learn the principles of God's Word. Now, you'll get called old fogey and old fashioned, and you'll get called all kinds of names, and you're not with the times, and these are different days and all that. Listen, they've been saying that stuff ever since Cain and Abel. But it still doesn't change the fact that you need to build your house and you need to teach your children according to the principles of the Word of God. And I'm talking about letting the Word of God be important in your life, not just a book that sits on the table that you pick up on the way out the door every Sunday as you go to church. Colossians 3:16, Paul tells us, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let it dwell in you. Let it be part of your life. Listen, parents, you don't have to be a theologian or Bible college graduate or seminary graduate. Your family devotions don't have to have 3 points and an outline and an illustration and a word study every week. But what you do have to have is simply open up the Word of God with your family. Turn off the television and the devices and the computers and the Facebooks and the phones and all the things, and just get away from the stuff for a while and get in the Word of God as a family. And allow the Word of God to be the foundation. Because you see, what you need to understand is that God has ordained parents to be the authority in the home. That authority comes from the Word of God. So establish that relationship. Establish that involvement in their life. Establish the love of the Word of God with your children and with your family. You got to have a good foundation. We have a problem on this property here at White Plains, and that's because we got a lot of sand. Every time we try to do anything around here, it costs us. Y'all remember when we did the parking lot here a few years ago? We had to dig it up and leave it dug up for a couple weeks and run those big machines over it and pack it because there's just sand everywhere. There's just sand everywhere all over this property. We had to wait for the sand to settle and wash down and pack it down. And then when we went to jack up the front of the church where it was settling, experts told us we'd only have to go down between 20 and 30 feet and hit solid ground. I'll never forget that day they were doing it. I got a phone call from one of our trustees saying, "Preacher, they've gone down 30 feet, still hadn't hit solid ground." He called me back in a few minutes. "They've gone down 40 feet. They still hadn't hit solid ground." He called me back a little bit. "They've gone down 50 feet. And they still hadn't." I said, "Well, tell them to stop digging. We're going to have a mess." And we did have a mess. They went someplace 50-something feet, right, Bill? And there was sand everywhere all over this place. And there's just sand everywhere. It cost us a whole lot more money than we planned on to just try to hit a solid foundation. I mean, it's just the way it is around here. So we got to take that into consideration when we do anything around here. See, because the foundation is the most important part of your building. You build it on sand, it's going to wash away. It's going to crumble shortly. You got to build it on a solid foundation. The solid foundation for building a Christian family is the foundation of the Word of God. That's why you folks need to come to Sunday school. I'm just going to stand up for Sunday school this morning.
Amen.
I'm just going to stand up for our Sunday school teachers. I'm a little tired of my teachers having to sit in empty classrooms on Sunday mornings. There's no reason for that. I'm tired of some classes that teachers don't show up. There's no cause for that either. Because the teaching of the Word of God is instrumental and foundational to the spiritual growth of this church. And we spend $2,000, $3,000 on materials that we end up throwing away at the end of the quarter because people don't show up to use them. Or they leave them in the rooms or whatever. I just want to stand up for Sunday school. I want to stand up for teaching the Word of God. Because it's foundational to every part of your spiritual life. And don't go out telling people that we don't do anything for kids and we don't have anything for youth. We got children's teachers and youth teachers waiting every Sunday to teach your kids and teach your young people. And they're waiting here with the Word of God in hand to teach them. So you ought to have them here. And adults, you ought to come too, because Sunday school is not just for kids. It's for all of us. We got adult classes, young adult classes, middle adult classes. We got senior adult classes. I didn't say old. We got all kinds of classes. And we got godly teachers who have prepared all week and taught, studying in the Word of God. And they're not teaching a book. They're teaching the book, the Word of God. And they've got something for you to have and help you in your life. So y'all come. Y'all show up. Okay. Stand up for Sunday school.
Amen.
Number two. Not only is a foundation founded on the Word of God, but notice too the structure of this home, this Christian home. It is a structure of guidance and teaching. Here again in Ephesians, we're still in Ephesians 6. Notice it says, "And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." But notice this, and I said this in our dedication a while ago. "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That is the guidance and the teaching. The structure of this Christian home, built on a foundation of the Word of God, the structure as it goes up. There's lots of things involved in the structure of a building like this. There's things you don't see. There's things on the outside, the inside. There's all kinds of parts to the structure. But all of the structure of a Christian home is built around guidance and teaching. In addition to making your words and your life match up, allow your children and your teenagers to be influenced by not just you, but influenced by other godly adults, teachers, coaches, pastors, deacons. Young people need mentors in their lives. And this structure of guidance and teaching is that nurture and admonition. Don't just tell them what God's Word says. Tell them what it means. Demonstrate it in your own life. Have them around godly men and women who are demonstrating it in their lives. Again, Sunday school. Again, Sunday night worship services and Awana programs and youth programs and Wednesday night Bible studies are great times for us to take and apply what we're reading and what we're learning and take and learn how to use that in our walk with God. Thank God for all of those who had parts in my life. Being raised in a Christian home did not exempt us from needing other people. Teachers and deacons and youth directors and youth ministers and others who came along and nurtured me and encouraged me and taught me how to live, how to be a man, how to do things. And together with godly parents, my mom and dad realized there's a war going on in culture for the souls of our young people. And the only way you got any chance of winning that war in your young people's lives is to keep your young people involved in godly activities and Christian activities and around godly people, around godly men and women. You get them in church and you get them involved in activities and ground people that love and love the Lord first and love to see the Lord work in others in their lives. I'm just thankful for people who are willing to give up their time to teach a class, coach a ball team, go on a trip, give up their weekends and hang around a bunch of kids and teenagers so they could have an influence in their lives. Now some of you have grown up here. You have had the example set before you. Now it's time for you to be that to others. It's time for you to invest in others who are coming along as well. The structure of a Christian home is the guidance and the teaching. It's that nurture and admonition. You know, we've got people in our culture today and who think the church is not relevant. God has no clue about what's going on. And you start talking about to people about having a relationship with Christ, and they look at you like you just tried to explain Avogadro's number in chemistry. Some of you don't even know what Avogadro's number in chemistry is. It's been a long time, hasn't it? Yeah. But we got to get back to showing this world that Christ makes the difference. And a relationship with God is not just for the weird and the strange and the emotional, but we got to get back to showing that the only hope that you have in this world is found in a personal walk with God.
Amen.
And a personal relationship with the Son of God. And I don't know where in the world we got the idea that God's Word and God's church and God's people were supposed to be boring. And I've been in some boring places, and sometimes it's boring. But it's okay if it's boring. Sometimes you need a little boring to make you understand that life is not all about making you happy. Not all about making pleasing your little ego. And not making you feel like you've had fun every time you've gone somewhere. You might find that some of the things that you thought were boring were really actually the things that you needed more in your life. If you just be quiet and pay attention and listen up, maybe God will do something in your life. And sometimes if you get off your iPads and your iPhones and get off your other devices and take those things out of your ears when you're walking down the street, maybe God can speak to you every now and then. There's a third thing about it. There's a third part of this blueprint for building a Christian home. Foundation is on the Word of God. Structure is built on guidance and teaching. But notice lastly, every structure's got to have a roof. You don't have a roof, you're going to have problems. You have a strong foundation, a strong structure, but boy, if it's not covered up, it's going to be a mess first time the rain comes. First time it starts getting stormy and first time the weather gets cold, you're going to have problems. So what is the rooftop for a Christian home? The rooftop of a Christian home is a rooftop of what I call unconditional love. Unconditional love covers it all. One of the most vital needs that every child and every teenager and every young person needs to know is that he is loved. Not because he made straight A's or not because he scored a winning touchdown, but because of who he or she is. That child needs to know his unconditional love.
Amen.
Of that parent and that grandparent and that aunt and that uncle or that guardian. Thankfully, we as Christians have a Heavenly Father who constantly and consistently affirms His love to us. We need strong standards. We need to demonstrate discipline. We need rules. But all of those things should come under the rooftop from a motive of love. We just got through studying 1 Corinthians 13 in our Wednesday night Bible study. And we learned that in context, that chapter is in context of correcting the church in regard to these issues of spiritual gifts that were going on and how they were misusing them. And they were just getting all carried away with everything in the church without loving each other and without doing it in love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 just basically says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." You see, our children need to know that they're loved no matter what. We need to demonstrate that love, not just as parents, but as people of God, as members of a local body of believers, as church, from pastors and deacons and Awana teachers and Sunday school teachers and trustees and ushers and nursery workers. Everything that we need to do it from a motive of unconditional love, because you know what? They don't find a whole lot of that out there in the world. That they think they do. And then when it's too late, they realize it wasn't love, it was something else. And then their lives are destroyed, and their lives are a mess. Families are broken, and things are destroyed, and their bodies are damaged for life. And what they thought was love was nowhere near love. And what we need to do is understand that love comes from a relationship with God and a loving God who loved us. That means we need to spend time together. Someone has written that love is spelled not L-O-V-E, but true love is spelled T-I-M-E. Time. Time. Time with others. Time with your children. Time with your spouses. Time in demonstrating that love. And you see, what your children will see firsthand from you, they will learn about God's love first and foremost from their parents and those people who are raising them. When they look in the eyes, when they're laying in a crib and they're laying in a bassinet being carried in a carrier to church, when they look in the eyes of those parents and those guardians and those ones who are caring for their welfare, they will be looking into the eyes of God. to them. Because they don't know what love is except what they see in you. That's how they'll know how God loves, is they'll see how you love. None of us are perfect. There's not a church that's perfect. There's not a family that's perfect. There's not any one of us that can stand here and say our children never made any mistakes. Be careful of people who act like that they do have that in their home. All of our kids have their wonderful imperfections. And we love them anyway. Because you know what? We had ours. And thank God somebody loved us through that too. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful to know that when our children mess up, just like we messed up, that those who love us the most are going to be the first ones to forgive us the most. And they'll forgive us. And as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherish her children. Love and acceptance, positive encouragement goes a long way in that rooftop of love that covers it all. Listen, you can know all the Bible. You could teach all the Bible. You could bring them to every single service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, children's meetings, youth meetings. You could do it all. You could be involved in all of it. But if you're not doing it under the rooftop of an unconditional love, it means nothing. Because all you're doing is giving them something that they will rebel against later on. It has to come under the rooftop of love. You see, investing in the lives of the next generation and this generation is a very serious endeavor. You see, it's more significant than building a house or a church building or even the tallest skyscraper. Because there's more at stake when we're building into the lives of young people and children. When we're building into the lives of those parents and those young parents who are starting out, we need to show them and give them the blueprint of what God's Word has to say about building a Christian home. Notice back where we began in Psalm 127, verse 1. And in that first verse is the reason I started there and the reason I'm going to end there. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. If you expect all the happiness and peace and joy in your life apart from a relationship with God, you'll never find it. You might be happy for a while, you might soothe your ego for a while, and you might hit a high for a while, but you'll never have any lasting peace and lasting love and lasting joy unless you have a personal relationship with God. You see, that's where you need to start. You need to start with you and the Lord. You and the Lord. As I said, I have no skill in building a building. If someone were to give me a call this afternoon and says, I will pay you X amount of money if you'll go out and build this huge building. First of all, that would be the biggest waste of their money. Secondly, they will have to find somebody else to come clean up my mess because I ain't got a clue what I'm doing. But why in the world we do the same thing with our families? We allow the world to raise our kids in television and the internet and social media. And we allow the world to influence their thinking and their philosophies and their attitudes. And we sit back and allow it to happen. And then we wonder why our kids' lives are in a mess. We wonder why our families are in a mess. I think Proverbs had it right. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And there's a lot of things I can't understand, a lot of things I can't explain. And I, for one, know that I've never been perfectly perfect. Neither of you. But I believe if we do things God's way, follow God's plan, follow God's blueprint. Brother, I believe you have all the experience that I can know of somebody who are building buildings and construction and commercial buildings through most of your life. You wouldn't hire someone who didn't know what they were doing to build a building for you. No. You got to make sure they know what they're doing and do it right. You got to follow the guidelines. You got to follow the codes. You got to follow procedures. And I believe the first step of that is just to make a commitment. Lord, have your way in my life. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Do it God's way. Maybe some of you have been trying it your way for a long time. How is that working out, by the way? Maybe it's time to get back in God's way. Let's build a Christian home together. And let's encourage each other as a church to do the same. Father, in Jesus' name, how we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the hope and assurance you've given us through the personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that today, if there's one here that does not know you through faith in your Son, accepted you as Savior, Lord, that they'll make that commitment today. Lord, I pray for every parent, every home this morning. Lord, I know there's so many things facing us. There's so many things fighting against us. And the devil has put everything he can in the way to try to discourage us. And even when we think we're doing the right things, not everything turns out like we think it ought to be. And we get frustrated. And we get discouraged. And we don't know what to do. But Lord, help us go back to your blueprint. Help us follow your principles and your guidelines. You tell us in your word that your word would not return void. You said that your word will stand forever. So Lord, help us base our lives upon that. And our families. Lord, on this day as we celebrate with a family as they dedicate this precious little one in their lives, may it be a time for us as a church as well to dedicate our own selves to you and to those who you've entrusted into our lives. If we need to come to this altar, Lord, our deacons will be here to pray with anyone. And especially if there's one that needs to be saved, Lord, we'll take the Word of God and show them how they can know Christ as their Savior. But more importantly, Lord, I just pray that you do a great work in all of our lives this moment. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Amen. Jeannie, come in.